In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Venerable Consolata Patrone's life is one full of love. Jesus wanted to teach us through her that true holiness is not so much in the great penances of some special saints, but in love. Holiness is love. For this reason, he asked Venerable Consolata Patrone to make her life a continuous act of love, repeating constantly as much as possible, and having her mind available and not occupied with other good things, to repeat the formula of the act of love that Jesus himself taught her, Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls. Venerable Consolata Patrone learned this way of love and simplicity from Thérèse of Lisieux, also known as Saint Thérèse of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face. When she, being young and living in her house, read the story of a soul for the first time, she was so impressed that she wanted to imitate her and make her life in a simple way, full of love. This is how she tried to live it, repeating at the beginning only, "My God, I love you." Then she added something, "My God, I love you, increase my love for you," until Jesus taught her the ultimate formula for it. Live loving, live the love. This is the key to life and holiness. It is like saying, live for God, fulfilling His will at all times, trying to make Him happy, and love Him with all your heart, offering Him everything we do, think, or feel with love. May we imitate this path of Venerable Consolata Patrone and Thérèse of Lisieux and live by love and to love. Venerable Consolata Patrone was born as Pierina Patrone on April 6, 1903, in Saluzzo, Italy. She had 23 siblings. Her father, Pietro Patrone, had been married twice. The first time with Giovanna Viano, with whom he had 18 children, of which in 1900 there were 8. With the second wife, Giuseppina Nerino, he had 6. Of these, 2 died at birth, and Teresa, Pierina, Franca, and Amalia remained. When Pierina was born, her father was 47 years old and had a bakery business in Saluzzo. In her childhood, Consolata or Pierina Patrone attended catechism instruction, and she affirms, "I remember a lady catechist who wanted me to do confirmation at the age of 6 and took me to her house to prepare well. From that time, I remember the kindness of my sister Angela, older than me by 6 years. Every evening before bed, she would tell me some beautiful and uplifting things. Once, when I was thirsty, she told me about the souls in purgatory and the flames that I could extinguish with the sacrifice of a little water." In the summer of 1909, the family went to live in Iraska, where the family opened a bakery with its attached shop. Pierina went to school when she was 6 years old. After finishing the third grade, she did the fourth grade privately with a teacher and took her exams in Pinerolo with success. There she stayed a few days at the home of the Josephine's mothers. Afterwards, her parents sent her to the Upper Piedmont, to the home of a relative who had a bakery, so that she could continue her studies. But the environment was difficult. She writes, "The mud surrounded me, and I was silent. My God, I understand your rejection of those who scandalize children. Where would I go if at age 10 I was on the slope of evil? Jesus watched over me in the fight against the devil. Jesus always wins with love, forgiveness, and His infinite mercy." After a year of being there, I returned home to my family. My soul would have needed a lot of maternal love to heal the wounds received, but I lacked this. I lacked trust with my mother. The third grade teacher realized that Pierina had changed for the worse and said to her classmates, "Poor Pierina, to think that she was so good. In church, she looked like a virgin, and now she doesn't even go to mass." This touched my soul and I was converted. I made a good confession and returned to love the church, prayer, and the sacraments. My mother bought me a little image of the Virgin, and I made a small altar for her. At night, while Teresa slept in my room, I would get out of bed, light 2 candles, and pray the entire rosary. Around 11 o'clock at night, when I heard my father close the store, I would blow out the candles and go back to bed. Little by little, I got used to going to Mass every morning and then receiving communion every day. There was an image of the Virgin Mary in the parish church of Iraska that attracted my glances and conquered my heart. when in the month of May or in the novenas the image was exposed. Then the desire came to me to have an image of the Virgin Mary too, so that I could pray in front of her. My mother pleased me, and I had the desired image. I prepared a small altar, but to pray I needed the rosary, and I managed to have it with little money. Piorina, every night, while her sister Teresa slept, she got out of bed and knelt before the image and lit the candles, and looking lovingly at the Virgin Mary, she prayed the rosary. She said to the Blessed Virgin, "My heart flooded with joy and sweetness." At that time, I made friends with a girl of my age. Her name was Rina Agonal. She told me, "If I were in your place, I would become religious." I was intimately persuaded that I had received this great gift of a religious vocation when my little sisters, upon returning from their first communion, gave me a kiss that was Eucharistic on my forehead. Thus Jesus sealed me with a seal of love. Rina and Piorina became great friends, supporting each other on the path of virtue and in the struggle to fulfill the vocation. She remembers, "Rina's generous kindness would even come to pick me up with her clogs in snowy weather so that we could go to Mass and thus receive Jesus." One day, my mother had told Maria, my older sister, "If the Lord grants us to return to Turin, and if this is his wish, I will let Piorina go to the convent." This made me jump for joy. I entrusted this secret to Sister Vicenta del Codolengo, and she told me, "Pray, pray, and if the Lord wants, in the little house of Codolengo they receive at the age of 14. That afternoon, before the host exposed in adoration, I prayed fervently. Shortly after, a year the exile would end, and I, at age 14, could be religious. How many prayers did I address to heaven to obtain this grace of moving to Turin? The grace came on February 16, 1917, when we left Iraska. In fact, the family settled in Turin and started a pasta business. All the hope of her parents was placed on Teresa and Piorina. The next two sisters, Franca and Amalia, were younger and were only 4 and 7 years old. There was a lot of work, and for her parents, it was crazy to let Piorina go when she was 14 years old. An imprudence of her friend Rina Agonal unleashed a hurricane. Rina wrote to me from Iraska that a common companion, Rosa Martini, had gone to Codolengo, and in the letter, she told me about our vocation and about our departure. At age 14, according to the promise heard from my mother. This letter was read by my sister Teresa, and later by my mother, and then they gave it to me to read. The matter jumped on the table. My dad told me, "Look, I'd rather see you dead than religious. Remember that." As a result of this situation and the impossibility of being religious at the age of 14, as she had dreamed, she began to drink a lot of coffee, such that she felt very bad. Being seriously ill, her mother thought she was dying, and Dr. Zappi was her divine instrument. Piorina spoke of her inner wound, and Dr. Zappi persuaded her that she was too young to become a religious, and that she had to take care of her health in order to realize her ideal. The doctor promised her support to obtain her desire when she would be 21 years old. Piorina believed, and for the love of her vocation, left the deadly coffee. Piorina began teaching catechism to a group of little girls, and she says, "Jesus came to enlighten me with a simple dream. I saw myself in the festive school, and the little ones like sheep without a shepherd that were scattered. I woke up and understood that I should give up that group. I loved them too much, and they were making me deviate from my vocation." Piorina, or Consolata Patron, was serving at her parents' bakery and couldn't say no to anyone who asked her for a favor. Her sisters declared that at parties she deprived herself of some of the food and then brought something to poor acquaintances. Also in the association of the Daughters of Mary, or of the Circle, she tried to help her companions in need. But she, too, got carried away with some diversions that she always regretted. She wrote, "Many times I fell at the feet of Jesus, sobbing for the virtue that had been in danger of perishing, attending a diversion in the company of my mother and Teresa. The years passed, and in my heart the flame of vocation burned. One day, I wrote down my feelings, wondering if I would be a cloistered religious or a missionary. Teresa read it, and then my mother, who was very hurt. The next day, when I was going out to go to Mass, I found the door of the house closed, and for many days they deprived me of Jesus. Finally, my father, not seeing me suffer, opened the door for me, saying, "Let her go to Mass." So I kept the house key, and one day the priest who came to give the anointing of the sick to a dying woman who lived in the same building could not enter. Faced with so much trouble, I thought that it would be better to leave communion, but I spoke with that same priest and he replied, "Not good for you if you leave communion." Pierina was already 20 years old, and one of her greatest dangers was having to say no to those who asked her to be a wife. There was a young man from a good family, also a member of the Catholic group. She says, "Sometimes we agreed on the visits we made. Our conversations were always lively, but nothing more. One day, I was surprised that he asked me to mail him. That young man, fatherless, loved my parents very much. I felt sorry for him, and I was weak. I didn't dare say no to him. I limited myself to writing to him that I had not yet thought of getting married. My heart in those summer days was dry from Jesus, and Father Felix was in the countryside. Would I betray my vocation? One afternoon, I asked for lights to make up my mind, and I heard a voice in my ear, 'You can't be religious because you don't have purity.' It was the voice of the enemy. I bowed my head and hid my face in my hands. I said, 'Jesus, it's true. I have no purity. Then I'll get married.' But I didn't feel like saying yes to that young man. My family, who knew him and loved him, already called me his wife. I finally decided to ask Father Felix for advice. I wrote him a letter and I waited. Soon the answer came to me." "Tell me, Pierina, why do you want to get married?" "Father, I have no purity." "Only for that?" "Yes, Father." "Remember that you have a vocation." That same afternoon, I wrote to the young man to say no, because I would be religious. The young man suffered a lot, but you, O Jesus, will know how to reward him. It was Teresio Giordano. He was upright, loyal, and very religious. He married my sister Teresa on July 2, 1923. One of the days, while they were at the table, Consolata said, "Today I am 20 years old." My mother looked at me, and she understood that I was going to be religious. Years later, she confided to me that that phrase pierced her heart. Another day in Valsalis, next to the tomb of St. John Bosco, she read an autograph of the saint that said, "Many were called, but they lacked time." She realized that the time had come. Pierina or Consolata Patron refers, "I started a novena to Thérèse of Lisieux to obtain the grace to be able to leave. The eve of finishing the novena was a holiday. I took the opportunity to go to the Institute of the Daughters of Mary, Help of Christians, and ask to speak with the provincial. She advised me to enter in January." The date for entry into the Congregation of the Daughters of Mary, Help of Christians was January 26, 1925. "I was thinking of going to the Salesian convent, running away from home, but at the thought of what my family was going to suffer, my heart froze. I also knew that my parents and sisters loved me very much and had let me go to the Catholic group, the circle, and the parish. I suffered to be the daughter of Mary and caretaker of the small rosaries women and for all that was the apostolate. In the end, I did not know how to speak to them, except through a letter addressed to my mother. Pierina asked her mother for permission to be religious. I placed the letter under a rug, which Franca had to unfold, and I went to the circle, where I spent time suffering and thinking, 'My mother will be reading my writing now, and she will be crying, and also Franca. What distress!' In the afternoon, I arrived at my house and found the door closed. My mom came and she didn't say anything. When Dad found out about the matter, he and the whole family's crying hurt me a lot, along with his pleas for me to have mercy on them, who were old, and on Franca and Amalia, who were still little girls. To all this was added the anguish of Teresa, who from November 1st to January 26th did not eat but tears. Certainly the vocation costs, has cost, and will cost. My heart exploded from the pain that I caused them. One afternoon, I went to the park to shed my tears, and Jesus enlightened me. Jesus, infinite tenderness, came to console me by sacramentally lowering me two hosts that the priest gave me by mistake. And since I left them on the pallet, they stayed that way for a long time. One day, Amalia told me that our mother had gone to confession and she had expressed my desire to be a religious. The priest had exhorted my mother to accept my vocation. My mother, through Amalia, told me what I needed to go to the convent, and I secretly, so that my father would not see it, began to sew and prepare the necessary things. January 26, 1925 was the day set for joining the Salesians. My mother prepared a luxury meal for me, thinking that in the convent I would never have something like that. My father left home because he did not have the courage to see me leave. They told me that in the coffee shop he cried continuously. My mother, Paola, and Teresa accompanied me. An hour after I entered the Daughters of Mary, Help of Christians, prostrate at the foot of the tabernacle, in an unstoppable explosion of tears, I shouted to Jesus, "At last, O Jesus, I am all yours." 2 days after her entry into Turin, she was transferred to Giovanno to fulfill her postulancy. On January 31st was the ceremony of delivery of the medals. She says, "It was one of the most beautiful days of my life. That morning in communion, she had made a pact with Jesus. You will think of my family and everything else, and I will think of you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.